These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Prepared a lot from what we've seen. I'm sure they've done the same thing. But now we got to go out there and play and have game one. You can't find out how good you are until you play game one, right? And find out information and data. And that's what game one's all about. It's about, you know.
You know what
that was? All that noise?
That was when I was cutting the clip. I did not know that in the background.
Oh, that was Judd.
That was Judd. That was Judd organizing his secretary papers. Let me roll that back one more time.
We've prepared a lot from what we've seen. I'm sure they've done the same thing. But now we got to go out there and play and have game one. You can't find out how good you are until you play game one, right? And find out information and data. And that's what game one's all about. It's about, you know us. We talk about the people, the vision, and the process. That's happening. And then after game one, we'll have data, and then we'll respond to that data and just continue to go into game two. So.
And by the way,
I didn't realize the noise from my end would pick up on your end recording a clip.
One of us could have said something very incriminating during that, and it would have just...
By the way, the humming was Declan.
No.
Because he was humming...
No, man, I think
I know that Judd hum. That's a you do that all the time as you're getting settled.
But the noise, here's the noise. Definitely me on the noise.
Oh my god.
Pots and pans. Stella. I was trying to put my clips together. Well, the dog's been acting up today. It's been a long morning so far, which is why I need my coffee.
Well, welcome in. This is Mackie and Judd here. We are broadcast professionals here to entertain you through the prism of Minnesota sports. And every Tuesday on the show, we go into who gets it, who doesn't, and I think we should fire this up here, boys, because we got a big football game in like 55 hours from now.
Thursday.
We got a big football game.
Professionals. Yep.
And so I would like to start you guys off. You saw the PJ Fleck clip off the top there with Judd's commentary and sound effects in the background. Who doesn't get it? The public.
Ooh.
More specifically, the betting public. According to actionnetwork.com, so this is a 14-point spread right now. Ohio State is favored over the Gophers by 14 points. So they're that's actually, I think if you go back in history and look at historical spreads between these two teams, it's probably about the closest. Like, there's probably been maybe a 12 or a 13 in there, but it's pretty rare that you're going to get anything under a couple touchdowns for the Gophers. So 88% of the bets are on Ohio State. 85% of the money is on Ohio State. I'm not even talking about the Gophers winning the game necessarily. I'm just talking about keeping it close or backdoor covering inside two touchdowns. Who doesn't get it? The public is sleeping on one of the best run-blocking offensive lines in all of America. The public is sleeping on a team that returns, 20 starters out of a possible 22?
I want to say. Most of their guys back. You're exactly right.
I'm not saying this is Nebraska in the mid-90s.
I'm not saying you are.
But this team reminds me on paper of some of Glenn Mason's better teams. Like when Glenn Mason had those road grading, run blocking, run the ball down your throat, steady quarterback. Do enough in the passing. I think the biggest question is, much like those Glenn Mason teams, to what extent can this team play defense? But when I see 88% of bets on Ohio State here, I'm running in the other direction. Come on, boys.
Are you running?
I'm sprinting like PJ Flex team from one end of the field to the other in the fourth quarter. That's what I'm doing.
There is no greater fraud on this show than Declan Goff joining in the excitement about Gopher football.
There's room, Dex. Come on.
That would be like an atheist.
St. Cloud State got their football team and I don't have one, so I am joining the Gophers. Here we come.
Did you just say Declan's like the atheist who's going to church right now? Oh, I love church.
Like,
church
I love
is great.
Time, you don't understand. Declan, who as soon as the mic shuts off, says, I don't give a crap about Gopher football. I can't stand.
Declan's not a big college football guy.
I'm not a big college football guy. It's not that I have anything against the Gophers.
I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying it's hilarious. Because
and listen, I have been the Gophers and college football fan that's been walking through the desert 36 years of my life. I know there's people that have been waiting for longer than that. And PJ Fleck has provided – a couple of years ago when they beat Penn State at home and they beat Auburn in a New Year's Day bowl game, I mean, that's about – I don't even know if anything comes close to that in my life as a Gopher football fan and a graduate of the U of M. But I'm just saying, like, weird things happen early in the college football season, especially Ohio State. I know that they're – yeah, they lost a lot of guys. They lost Justin Fields. They're also replacing those guys with 4- and 5-star recruits every single year. And so it's not like they're just going back to the drawing board. But I think when you change out that many players and Justin Fields is gone, this is the best time to play them and hope for a close game. So
53 all-time games, and I think Dex gave the stat as well on Unchained yesterday. 53 all-time games between these two football programs. Ohio State is 46-7. including 22-4 against the Gophers.
That's awfully negative of you.
At Memorial Stadium.
There's no room for that on this show.
At Memorial Stadium, the Metrodome, and, of course, what is it now, Huntington Bank Stadium?
We're on the boat.
My college cut their football team, okay? I don't have a football team anymore.
I know, but you just don't care. You know what? Okay, I'm going to come back with a positive here to join in this conversation.
Let me roll back to shore here real quick.
Yeah. I'm going to help you. I'm going to join in here.
Wait, are you adding to the Pollyanna, or are you pouring cold water right now?
No, I'm not going to pour cold water. No, there's no reason to pour. You know, and it's the poor Gophers. There's no, at this point in time... I'm not going to pour cold water. There's no reason to, but I will say this. Of all the teams in this town that were impacted by the pandemic last year and the crazy schedules and
Rashad Bateman basically was
Gopher football to me is number one.
Yeah.
Because one, they're not pros. Well, they sort of are, but they're not.
Well, they are now. They can all make money now.
Two, they actually just canceled games. Like, they just called off games. So, like, they made no attempt to make them up. And so I am not willing to say that what we saw in the transition from 2019 to 20 was, like, this great disappointment of how could this happen? Like, 19 looked so good, and in 20 you were you had a lot of things that were out of your control. And so I am actually willing to make the leap from 2019 to 2021, if that makes sense, and just sort of wipe out last year. Because I just don't think it's fair to the program or Fleck to be like, well, all the disappointment from last year is on you and your kickers weren't good. So you didn't recruit the right kickers. And Bateman opts out, then he opts back in, and then he wisely opts back out. So this is the one team where I don't want to call it a complete free pass, but you had a lot of guys sit out, which totally up to them. You had a lot of things that were out of your control, and I don't think you can judge a 2019 into 20 and be like, well, now you got to prove yourself. I'm willing to make the leap from 2 years ago right into this year and see what happens.
I think another question we have just for the show, we were just talking before we popped the mics for today's show. You guys, the audience, the listeners, the viewers on the Score North YouTube channel, how much do you have interest in Gophers football this season? Legitimately, let us know. Let us know in the Score North YouTube comment section. Let us know on our Twitter and Instagram accounts. Just hit us up. Do you want to hear us talk a lot about Gopher football? Or is it all going to depend on if they beat Ohio State, I think people are going to be all in. So maybe how well they play or not on Thursday will sort of set the tone for how interested people are. Even if they play a close game, it might tell people, whoa, okay, maybe they can do some damage with what's going to be a pretty tough schedule. So let us know. We want to know from you guys.
Right.
Hey, so give me this, Phil Mackey. Give me a Phil Mackey ranking of Minnesota sports teams you're still passionate about. Because I assume it's the Wolves one, but Gopher football might be closer than I think.
Well, I have some level of passion for pretty much all of the teams still, even though they mostly let me down. In terms of like how passionate, like how much are my emotions affected if things go off the rails or something?
Yes, I feel like you're divorced from the Vikings.
I'm not divorced.
Too emotional about them.
I'm able to. I feel like the Vikings are. The Vikings are a family member that I know exactly. Like, I know that they let me down all the time, and they're still in the family, and I still love them. But I'm not going to, like, listen, I've bailed you out of jail 6 times. We had to adopt Let's your be children because you can't take care of your children.
Crazy uncle in the basement.
Yeah, the drunk uncle.
So I would say that the Timberwolves are number one. Inexplicably, sometimes I know that's. I would say the Twins have been number one for a long time. I would say the Vikings are probably number two, and the Twins are probably number three at this point. But Gopher football and basketball goes in waves for me. Like when I commit, because I went to school there.
Right.
It was a huge part of my life when I was in college and tailgating and stuff. But I also can see on the horizon, like this year's Gopher basketball team, they're going to be young and experienced. They're still putting together the roster. They're going to lose a bunch of games. So I'm not going to be tormented mentally by that. Gopher football kind of feels like they're, all right, they're restocking the cupboards, even though they have a bunch of starters returning. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't know. I've committed so much mental energy to the Timberwolves over the years that there's no turning back.
I thought Gopher football would be two now. Not before, but now.
It's probably four. It's probably four. Somewhere in there. Get back to me. If they beat Ohio State, you're going to see me dressed like PJ Fleck every day on this show for the next 4 months.
I
feel like you can turn up on the Vikings so quickly now that they wouldn't be too.
Fitted suits.
And you're so mad at the Quarter zip. Like you're on the verge of a divorce with the Twins.
Well, it's irreconcilable differences.
I know, but that's what I'm saying is Gopher football, there seems to be sort of this weird. Here's the difference that I see with you. With the Timberwolves and Gopher football, I see a soft spot in your heart for both those teams.
That's true. I will make excuses.
The Vikings and Twins.
If you're asking me, like, which team am I most likely to make excuses for and try to justify things for?
Correct.
Timberwolves, Gopher football.
Okay.
Probably Twins third, even though I've turned on them a lot this year. And then I'm in no excuses mode for the duration of time with the Vikings now. Guys, you've literally accomplished everything there is to accomplish except winning a Super Bowl.
Yes.
And I would love to see that happen before I die, which is our mission statement on Purple Daily.
Yes.
So you're probably right. By the way, you think I support Gophers Athletics. Federated's been supporting Gophers Athletics for longer than I have, and they've been supporting business owners throughout the Twin Cities. If you're looking for a better night's sleep as a business owner, knowing that your company is protected, that you've got the right risk management tools and resources, federatedinsurance.com. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours. All right. Who gets it? Who doesn't? Judd.
I'm going to go with the who doesn't. And I'm going to go to a guy that I thought was smarter than this, but clearly he's not. And I'm very surprised. Francisco Lindor. I don't know if you guys have seen this story, but Francisco Lindor and Javi Baez have teamed up with the New York bleeping Mets to show fans that they don't approve of being booed. And by the way, the Mets have had an awful month and deserve to be booed at every turn. By giving the fans the thumbs down when they cheer, as if to say, we don't want your cheers now if you're going to boo us. This is our way of booing you. Javi Baez was acquired from the Cubs at the deadline in what was a substantial, supposed to be, hey, Baez and Lindor are going to play together. Baez is going to be a free agent after the season, but my God, this could be the perfect marriage in New York. In 16 games, Javi Baez has hit .207. Lindor, who with Cleveland was one of the more likable guys in baseball and was really a fun guy, I think the contract probably and the market have soured him. And here's the cherry on top, though. So these two guys who are struggling but are star players have decided we're going to show Mets fans. We're going to show New York, which is like, okay, that's not a good idea. The cherry on top is, did you see who joined them in the thumbs down? Kevin Pillar. Kevin Pillar.
Like the fourth outfielder guy.
That's like Pete Best saying I was really good in the Beatles. You don't get it. It's like, dude, they kicked you out.
Kevin Pillar.
But anyway, I'm shocked that Lindor, who I really, really liked, is like that. I don't know that he would do that with that contract. He's there for like 10 years.
Well, it's funny you brought this up because this was also one of mine, except for me, it's who gets it. Javier Baez and Francisco Lindor.
No.
Yeah. They get it that Mets fans are idiots.
Yes.
And those guys have caught on to it. You know, these are the same Mets fans. Oh, you guys remember David Wright, legendary Mets third baseman. Mm-hmm. David Wright was one of the best players in baseball for like a 5 or 6 or 7 whatever year stretch. and then some chronic back issues. At one point, he got hit in the head with a 94-mile-an-hour fastball, and he had trouble then, like, he was never the same player coming back from some of his injuries. These people booed David Wright. Like, David Wright is out there giving his baseball soul to these fans, and they're booing him. They're like, ripping his family on social media. This is, like, in the earlier days of Twitter.
It's like
Mets
Philly.
Fans are morons.
So are Philly
Philadelphia
fans.
Fans are morons. And they did. And I think Francisco Lindor and Javi Baez are saying, all right, Lindor came from the Cleveland fans for years and years have suffered, right? But they still support Francisco Lindor because they know he's a good player. Chicago Cubs fans, you might argue some of the more bandwagon fans, but like Baez is coming from these Cubs fans. These guys are outsiders coming in, looking around saying, all right, I know what a good baseball fan is. These people are idiots, and I stand with Javier Baez and Francisco Lindor.
Cleveland fans stopped showing up. They not only didn't support Lindor, they didn't support their team. They stopped showing up.
Francisco Lindor just signed a 10-year contract committing to Mets fans.
Yes,
okay?
But you know what you're getting. But you know, see, that's the key to me. You know what you're getting into then. You did this. You took the money, which is your right. But now you're like, they can't boo me. Dude, you're going. You just went to New York.
Francisco Lindor, in fairness, is having a difficult season. He's batting .224 and slugging below .400. Yeah. And so
get
he is
clue.
Having.
Get a clue.
He is having a bad year.
Hey, Lindor,
so I'll regret
get a clue.
That. But it doesn't change the fact that Mets fans are morons. So
get a clue.
Hello to the Mets fans that find this on YouTube.
You know what, Mets fans? I hold on a second. Right there.
Oh,
I love
you're wearing
you.
A Mets hat today?
Go Mets. I was wearing my Mets hat. Oscar Madison, my man. And yeah, you know what, Mets fans? You get it. Get those two bums out. Hey, we don't need you.
All right, Declan, who gets it, who doesn't?
Well, I have no idea why we just steer off the 2021 Gopher football squad, because I think the Gophers get it. And I have a specific group of the Gophers that get it. And it's the Gopher Minnesota Moving Company. The Gophers offensive line, dude. This Gophers offense. You want to talk about people sleeping on this team and an offensive line in this state that we've been waiting to see. Well, the Gophers have it. They enter this year with 13 members of that unit who have appeared at least in one game. And 10 have started at least one contest. In fact, the Gophers offensive line has the most combined starts at the FBS level more than any other team in the nation. With 180, the next closest team is 159 in Miami in Florida. Yeah. So the offensive line is going to carry this team. Yes, it might be a little bit boring. It might be back in the old school days where they had Lawrence Maroney and they were just pounding the rock all the time. But the offensive line of the Gophers get it. And if they go anywhere, it'll be because of the big boys up front. It'll be nice to actually watch a competent offensive line. And yes, then maybe I will adopt some college football Saturday into my life.
And Ibrahim is one of the best running backs as well in the conference. So they should be road graders. They should be a pancake blocking spectacle this season.
If you plug Christian Darrisaw in for Rashad Hill at left tackle, like the Vikings will eventually, and you do the math right now, my guess is the Gophers offensive line average age older than the Vikings.
Wow, because they're all like 24 years old.
Yes. Are they? Darrisaw is a rookie. O'Neal was drafted in 2018. Cleveland was drafted last year. Bradbury,
yeah,
2018, right?
Yeah.
And right guard is, yeah, I bet the Gophers are older and have more experience.
Look at this. I love the Gopher optimism here.
Tanner Morgan, man. Tanner Morgan.
I'm going to be hungover on Saturdays and watching Gopher
football. Tanner Morgan's interesting because he was getting, going into 2020, coming off of an amazing year the year before, he was getting a little like second ring Heisman steam, not like Trevor Lawrence steam, but like could get votes on the outside ring steam.
Yes.
And he just wasn't that great. It helps to have Rashad Bateman.
That's what
for
I was
a full season,
say,
which he didn't. But
how's the receiving core now?
Altman Bell's he's a senior. He got hurt when? This offseason or
he
last year?
He got hurt in a scrimmage that they held about 3 weeks ago.
So I don't know his status.
Since. But, I mean, Bateman's got – they had – the one thing about the 2019 Gophers was that receiving core was excellent.
Oh, it was – yeah, I mean
– great.
Well, obviously, Bateman, one of the best receivers in the country. For what it's worth, Pro Football Focus has the Gophers receiving unit fifth among the 14 Big Ten teams. So they like it. They don't love it as much as when Bateman was there. So if Altman Bell is healthy, can he take a step up and be a downfield threat on a more regular basis? I guess we will. I guess we'll see. All right, back to Judd here. I skipped lines, so back to Judd.
Oh, okay. Who gets it? Who gets it? Ladies and gentlemen, Declan and Phil, happy NFL cutdown day. The NFL continues to make everything it does, especially transactionally, a great event. And the people that don't get this one are the people who say today is one of the toughest days. A lot of men are going to lose their jobs and they've worked hard. Okay, first of all, most of those guys should be realistic. You were lucky to be in training camp and now you're cut too bad. But second of all, think about how excited we are to see that 53-man roster. And more importantly, the guys who are going to be on waivers. And like,
yeah,
you know,
talk to me about those waivers.
You know,
yeah,
when this day comes, for instance, in like baseball, right, where like guys get sent down, it's like, oh, the Twins are sent five guys to blah, blah, and it's like, okay,
yeah,
this is the one, this is the sport where, okay, the market's now flooded and a lot of guys are not going to be claimed, and I don't care, but there will be, you know, Cam Newton, for instance, now on is going to be available. I'm guessing Nick Foles too. So happy National Football League cut down day. And I'm going to be the one guy who says a lot of people are losing their jobs and I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
Well, it's also like the only sport where, like in baseball, there are interesting cuts in baseball, but a lot of times it's minor leaguers. Like, will this top prospect make the team? And right, those guys are usually cut like 4 weeks before camp is over because they got to get into minor league camp and get him indoctrinated. In the NBA, there's only like six guys on your team that matter, so there's no drama as to like who's not going to make the team. Like all the contracts are already signed going into training camp.
Yep.
So it is, and then they do a great job. The NFL has done a great job of finding like the little morsels in their product. What could be elevated to be more entertaining, right? The schedule release. Okay, yes, that's great. And then the cut down day. And there's usually very little drama, but when Cam Newton is on the chopping block, and there's a couple other names that are going to be interested. The Vikings are going to be looking at quarterbacks, linebackers, maybe a kicker, perhaps offensive line.
Tight ends,
we'll see.
For sure now.
How about this? Breaking news from Ian Rappaport as we record this.
Yeah.
You want this?
On.
Yeah, hit me. Yeah. Hit me.
The Green Bay Packers are keeping All-Pro left tackle David Bakhtiari, knee injury, on the PUP list to start the season, which means he'll miss the first 6 weeks. David Bakhtiari, one of the best offensive linemen in the NFL, will miss at least the first 6 weeks for the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay also lost their All-Pro starting center in free agency to the Chargers. The Chargers. I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So Aaron Rodgers might be looking at his watch saying, if that Jeopardy job is still open, maybe I can just pivot.
Sneaky smart move, too, taking the cut down for the first time from Saturdays to Tuesdays.
Yeah, middle of the week.
Let's get it. Because I feel like, you know, 3 o'clock on a Saturday, like I cared, but I feel like fan is on the boat or
a couple seltzers in.
Exactly, which is great.
Yeah, but, you enjoy your Saturday.
But Tuesday, you get home from work and you tell the wife and kids, let's settle down right there. Daddy's got to look at the waiver wire.
Daddy's got to see which backup right guards might be available. All right, Declan, one last one. Who gets it, who doesn't?
I hate to call him out, but he doesn't get it, and it's upsetting me. Kirill Kaprizov, you don't get it. Please sign this contract, dude. I don't know, and I'm guessing it's your representation that is causing this hiccup. I don't mean to put it all on Kirill, but at the end of the day, dude, you control your own fate. Please. I know there's a contract on the table. There has to be. Sign the contract. Let's get this over with. We report to training camp in less than 2 weeks here in St. Paul. Sign this contract. I don't want this to be lingering over before training camp starts. Kirill, I want this to be the only time I ever have to say this. You don't get it right now. Please sign the contract. Come over to the Minnesota Wild. Let's get this season a go, and I don't want any more distractions.
What's the next deadline?
Training camp.
So sometime, really like 2 weeks, a week into September when They start camp in like a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, I don't think they put a date on it yet. I haven't seen that, but yeah, the next deadline would basically be you're supposed to be on the ice and you're not yet, which would not be good if he was not, because I will say this, I think it's still important.
Yeah,
like if you get a late start, it's going to be.
Don't make it a thing, dude.
But it's weird because I guess that CSKA KHL team, Moscow team, came out and said he's not coming here.
Yeah.
So like, there literally is nowhere else to go but just
the agent's
to sign.
Like, no, that's not true. He's playing tonight.
The agent, man, I feel like this guy is going down the wrong path for right now. Wait till you actually have the potential leverage to leave and then do it.
Yeah. Well, that's who gets it, who doesn't here on Mackie and Judd with executive producer Declan Goff. And those takes on today's show presented in part by Dennis Kirk and DennisKirk.com. So it's still riding season. You know, I think a lot of people think, oh, the fair's almost over and so summer's over. Yeah, but like then there's fall riding season. If you like to get up and around the fall leaves, North Shore. So whatever you ride, Harley, sport bike, metric cruiser, you'll find what you need at DennisKirk.com. 160,000 parts and accessories in stock. If you order by 8 p.m., they ship the same day. And shipping is free for orders over $89. When the open road calls, head to DennisKirk.com. So we're sitting here as we record this episode of Mackie and Judd, and we're just watching some of the early NFL transactions and some of the cuts. So we know that Cam Newton was cut this morning by the Patriots. They have named Mac Jones their starting quarterback, which opens up a couple questions. The Vikings are also, I think my gut says, they're also just going to be in the market for their own backup quarterback here. I don't think Jake Browning did nearly enough to keep a job on the 53-man roster, and so their radar is going to be up here, whether it's someone who got released, Cam Newton got released, or whether it's trade potential, like a Drew Locke lost out on the starting job in Denver. Like, could he be available via trade? So I guess let's start with Cam Newton here. Just, I don't think anyone else will entertain this. It's our obligation, I think, to the audience to at least pose this question. Would you consider Cam Newton as a backup to Kirk Cousins?
Zero chance. One, I don't think that he fits what this offense wants to do in any way, shape, or form. But Angela on Twitter just sent us a note that is actually probably the best point possible. She says, if Cousins not being vaccinated is an issue and a concern for the team and Newton is not vaccinated, which he's not, I don't know that they would pursue Cam Newton. And she's right.
Yeah.
Your backup quarterback has to be vaxxed. So like what, because if he's exposed to Kirk and Kirk has to, you know, be quarantined or gets COVID-19, Cam Newton's out again. So that is a great point. And I guess we haven't really discussed this and I didn't think about it too much in that context, but yeah, your backup quarterback, if it's going to be, you know, take your pick, Nick Foles or something, if that guy is not vaxxed and says, I'm not getting vaxxed, you're not going to sign him. You have to have a backup quarterback who can step in and is not subject to what the league is trying to do, which is essentially punish guys that haven't got the vaccination.
So what is Nick Foles is an interesting one. You brought him up. So he's basically just, he's with the Bears as a third stringer right now.
Yes. A well-paid third stringer. That's part of the problem.
Yeah. So, and I'll pull up his contract here in a second, but they're going to trade him, right? Like I just don't see.
Try to trade him. Yes, for sure.
Okay. Let me pull up his contract real quick here. My other question off the Cam Newton thing is the Patriots were very quick to just put Mac Jones in as their starting quarterback. Like, they could have easily used Cam Newton for the first month and a half of the season. Mac Jones sits behind him. You know, maybe to what you were saying about Cam having, he was sidelined twice with COVID-related issues. Maybe they're just like, honestly, you're not worth
correct
the pain in the ass. Like, Mac isn't fully ready, but we're just going to go with Mac Jones. So we don't know all of the reasons, and I'm sure Bill Belichick will very openly and transparently explain their decision-making here. But the fact that Mac Jones has done so well for the Patriots in this preseason and the Vikings passed on him and then later drafted Kellen Mond, the Vikings decided Mond is going to be our guy that we're going to groom for the future. Any buyer's remorse there? Like, if you go back and Darisaw has been hurt, you know, we haven't gotten to see much of him. Any buyer's remorse on, let's say, choosing Kellen Mond and Christian Darisaw over Mac Jones?
Because the Vikings traded back, did they have pick, was it 14 or 13? 13 that they had?
14 they started with.
And then they moved back, and I believe Mac Jones went a couple picks after 14 to the Patriots. So I didn't really have much until I saw Mac Jones play in a preseason game. And look, I get it. Regular season games are way different, so it's going to be tougher, and the speed of the game is going to accelerate starting week one for him. But he had much more presence in the pro game than I expected, like in the pocket. There was a couple plays in particular that I saw that really impressed me too, and those were the type of plays that we harp on constantly, and that was the pocket began to collapse with pressure, and he subtly just moved and made a really nice throw. Which, you know, as Kirk has shown, is a tough thing. Like, if you're good at that, it looks really simple, right? But if you're not, it's like, oh my God, what happened there? You fumbled or you got sacked or threw an incompletion. So it's not, in my opinion, it's not our job to, like, scout all college quarterbacks and be like, oh, he's going to be a great one, and they passed with a guy like Mac Jones. So if he continues to develop, yes, I think that the Vikings would. And I think it again shows, and I can say this with confidence, I think it again will show, if he does develop and becomes a successful quarterback, the lack of confidence that key members of the Vikings franchise have to sort of make a decision on a quarterback. Like Rick being like, well, you know, Ponder didn't work and Mac Jones is okay. But, you know, because Rick is supposed to see this far clearer than, let's say, Phil Mackey, Judd Zolgad, or Declan Goff.
Yeah. Like, and I said this on Purple Daily earlier this week. So Spielman, I think I'm on to Spielman's draft game a little bit here, and his the way that he operates and tries to sort of create this protective shield, right? I think I'm on to it.
Okay, go ahead.
So he trades back a lot more often than he trades up early in the draft. Like, he's very rarely moving up in the first round, making an aggressive move from 14 to 7. Like, he's not that type of a GM. Because if you do that, you better be right. Like, the spotlight, oh, if I'm going to give up 3 picks to move up from 14 to 7 to get Justin Fields.
Yep.
Now all of a sudden, now there's a timer on your tenure as a general manager. If Justin Fields fails, it's tied directly to you. Now, this happened with Christian Ponder, but it was early enough in Rick's tenure that it didn't completely ruin him as a GM, and he hit on a couple other draft picks throughout that process over those years. When you have, let's say, 4 or 5 quarterbacks all projected to be first-round guys, Trevor Lawrence was going to go number one. But after Trevor Lawrence, it was like you could trade up for Trey Lance. You could trade up for Justin Fields. Mac Jones is going to be sitting in there. I'm forgetting somebody. Zach Wilson from BYU. Like, there's all these guys. But you have to trade up most likely to get them. Or stand pat in the case of Mac Jones and take him. If you trade back and accumulate more capital, and we're going to trade back because that's how we're going to win the draft. We're going to win this trade, right? And Kellen Mond will happen to be there in the late second round, early third round. You're not going to get criticized as much as if you take a quarterback with your first round pick. Right. Like, you take Mac Jones in the first round, it might be a reach, and people are going to accuse you of reaching for Mac Jones in the first round, and that's a stain on your resume as a GM. There's really no way that Kellen Mond can be a stain on your resume as a GM. He was a third-round pick. If he fails, you just shrug your shoulders and say, well, we took a shot, but most third-round quarterbacks fail. So
I think you nailed it.
Can't blame me.
I think you nailed it.
Like, and I don't know if he's consciously thinking about that while he's doing it, but that's what happened. Like, they chose Kellen Mond. They went into the draft saying, we want to draft a quarterback.
Yes.
And they went with the least, in terms of, like, public pushback, they went with the path of least resistance there.
Yep.
And they're hoping that Kellen Mond pans out.
Right. And now they can say, well, Mond is potentially our quarterback of the future, but he's not here to threaten Kirk immediately, which has always been a big deal, which I think is craziness. But I really, you know, I think guys like Mac Jones, Phil, Spielman and the Vikings would deny this, but there is no question to me that the Ponder effect has been a long-standing one. I think that,
like, they thought he was a leader. They thought he was a guy.
Well,
right?
and you know, keep in mind what Rick talks about too, right? Which is, we put these guys through the ringer, both physically and psychologically, right? Yeah. We sit down with them and we dissect their personalities. And I mean, they no question thought we found a guy who's going to be. And not only was he not that guy, he couldn't play football. Like, he just wasn't good at it. So I will always contend that part of what, unfortunately for the Vikings, influenced Rick Spielman was the miss on that pick. And if you're going to keep a GM long term, especially in football, like for the quarterback position drafting it, I don't know that that can be your mentality. Oh my God, it didn't work.
You have to be willing. Like, let's go through. Well, there's all kinds of examples of, like, you know, Drew Brees felt the second round, but, like, you have to be aggressive. You know, Andy Reid, the Chiefs, they were aggressive. They said, we're gonna go get Pat Mahomes.
Right.
That could have been a huge whiff. Pat Mahomes wasn't a 100%. Like, they had to develop him, sit him for a year. Right.
Right.
So, like, if you're gonna do it, and by the way, I will say, I still like Kellen Mond a lot. We haven't gotten to see as much of him in the preseason. He was out for like a week and a half of practice. We're not going to know. Like, it's going to be really unfair if Mac Jones gets off to a really hot start or Justin Fields gets off to a hot start.
Yep.
We aren't going to even see Kellen Mond's car drive on the road for a year, most likely, right? Like, he's probably not going to play this season. So it's going to be hard to resist the temptation that if Mac Jones lights it up with the Patriots, or, you know, you were trying to trade up for Justin Fields, we'll have to give this Kellen Mond thing a shot. But this is another discussion for, you know, another day. They didn't draft Kellen Mond in the third round to just sit him for 4 years if he's good.
Correct.
So if he's showing you something in practice and he's making progress behind the scenes and he's a hard worker and he's a leader and all those things, if all those things start coming to fruition this year, they're going to want to get him on the field as early as possible to take advantage of his $1 million contract and the flexibility it affords you on the roster. So this whole thing is going to be really interesting for the next like 5 or 6 months.
And the interesting thing about that point right there is this one. When you do that, do you have the coaching staff with the ability to transition its offense to one that suits Kellen Mond? Because like right now, this is Kirk Cousins. Like,
they didn't do that with Bridgewater, by the way. The first year of Bridgewater, they said the things that you're super comfortable with, we're going to throw those out the window so you can run I formation under center
for Adrian Peterson. Right, but I mean but if you move on to Mond and you're like, you know what, he looks really good in practice, he's ready to pop. It might be tough at first, but he's ready.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, go run what Kirk does. That's malpractice on your part.
By the way. I've got a Nick Foles cap number here for you. So he's $10.67 million to the cap in 2022. He's $6.7 million to the cap this year. So you could you could afford him, I think, this year. I think you've got that cap space right now. Depending on, I'm sure you're down the road on a Brian O'Neill extension. I don't know how much money they're going to front load into that.
They might have gotten a little bit of relief on the Harrison Smith extension, though.
I think they have 16 million cap space right now.
So they could pretty easily absorb. So if they wanted to, they could, I don't know, let's see, the signing bonus, 2.6. Like, there's a $4 million roster bonus for Nick Foles next year. Could you convert that to a signing bonus? Like, there's things I think you could do to smooth out that 10.6 number next year. But you could also go into next year with Nick Foles 10.6 cap hit, Kellen Mond 1 million cap hit, and have that be your quarterback battle. If you thought Kellen Mond was like ready to be a starting quarterback, and then you'd save $35 million on the Kirk contract. So net, you'd save $25 million in cap space by trading Kirk Cousins and having Nick Foles and Kellen Mond battle for next year. I'm just saying.
So this is
what they're thinking about. Like, they're thinking about all these scenarios too, I'm sure, as they plan out the next 18 months.
So I think what you said at the outset of this part of the conversation, Phil, is probably correct. I think the Bears are going to try very hard to trade Foles, and obviously they wouldn't trade him here. Like, that's one where you wouldn't trade him, because if Kirk gets, you know, if Kirk can't play and then Foles plays and he turns back into
I don't think the Bears fear that.
A weird, but I mean,
I think the Bears would think trading him to Minnesota would actually be helpful to the Bears.
I think Bears fans would. There are other places that they would prefer to place him. But that being said, you know, you probably, if the Gardner Minshew trade sets the market, which is what, at the most a fifth round pick and probably a sixth, You know, Nick Foles is what worth? A seventh, a sixth? I mean, not much. So it would be more about a team absorbing his contract in a trade. But if they have to let him go, yeah, I think that there's a very obvious list of Viking candidates for backup quarterback if they can get one. And Nick Foles is probably atop that list for the here and now.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, he's been so up and down. Like, there's literally times where he is the Super Bowl MVP, and then there's other times where he looks like he's never played quarterback before. I almost throw anything Bears offense related out the window, though. It's the, for whatever reason, for 50 years, the passing game in that stadium and with that organization has just looked clunky.
He's an ideal backup, though.
Yeah, he can come
like,
in.
For what
he
you is, would yeah. want, it would be ideal.
Yeah, it's a lot of money, but if you took on that $6.7 million cap it for this year, you'd literally have like $40-plus million in quarterback cap hits. But your roster is already formed, so it doesn't really matter.
Right, for this year it doesn't matter.
You can't take it with you. So, all right, this deep dive into Vikings backup quarterback. Sean Mannion, I think, is with the Seahawks here, so maybe the Seahawks will cut him and he'll just be back holding a clipboard.
That would not surprise me one bit.
Wouldn't make me feel a lot better about the Vikings backup quarterback situation, but...
He can hand off without getting scared.
He could. Well, it's possible, too, that if Mannion gets cut, then he just might not have a job in the NFL anymore. And he had more time to golf, more time to go to PXG Minneapolis.
He's a good golfer.
Golfer's paradise. Backup quarterbacks, I feel like, generally have pretty good golf games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's like, you know, you make a lot of money.
Take the sticks on the road. You ain't playing tomorrow. A little Saturday 100%. Round.
Yep. So PXG Minneapolis is just an absolute mecca for great clubs, great apparel. Check it out. If you get a chance, stop in to the Southdale Center location and find out more at pxg.com/Minneapolis. All right. Also on Tuesdays, Declan goes back into the archives and finds old Minnesota sports seasons to quiz us about. It's called Random Season Recall here. I'm Mackie and Judd.
All right, boys. We haven't done a football one in a while. So I decided dig into the archives.
Football.
Let's get it.
And go with the 2001 Minnesota Vikings. Random season recall.
Ooh,
and
this
boy.
Bad, this is Corey Stringer year when he
this
passed
is,
away. This is a tough one.
This is a random season. So we'll start with our typical first question. How many wins the 2001 Vikings finish with?
Judd, I think they went 5-11 that year.
I think that's right. They so they closed in Baltimore because of 9-11, which was supposed to be their week 2 game. And I think you're right. I think it was 5-11.
5-11.
Yes! 5-11 on the nose. 5-11.
You'll find me on the high road, guys. You'll find me on the high. If you're ever looking for Denny Green, you'll find me on the high road.
Is that what he said when he got fired?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, he did a quick press conference and said, you'll find me on the high road.
Denny had a nice run.
He did. Run. He did. Judd mentioned that, yeah, the Vikings played the Baltimore Ravens on a Monday night game, actually, to close out that year. Mike Tice was the head coach. Yep. Who started at quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings that day?
I believe it was Todd Bowman. Or I might be thinking of a Jaguars game.
Was that one of the Spurgeon Wynn starts, Phil?
Oh, you're right.
Spurgeon Wynn started in...
You're right, dude. Yeah, he played the Ravens, didn't he? I'm pretty sure he played the Ravens.
Okay.
Spurgeon Wynn.
Spurgeon Wynn, final answer?
Yeah.
Nice. Dang.
And I knew it was an obscure backup. That's good.
Spurgeon Wynn's line that day, 13 of 29 for 86 yards, 2 picks, 5 sacks. Rough day.
That's worse than the Josh Freeman in the Meadowlands line,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
it's bad.
It is.
That's really bad. Yeah.
A little tougher one here. Who led the team in tackles in 2001?
Okay, so probably a linebacker. Almost always a linebacker. I'm trying to think of who the linebackers were in 2001.
I was going to say,
Was this pre-Greg Biekert? Was this post-Ed McDaniel?
I feel like it was post-Ed McDaniel. Greg Biekert, okay, so they got Greg Biekert from Oakland. And do you remember the game? So what year was the game he got de-cleated by Vic? 2002?
Was that the Michael Vick? The
Great Vic run.
It's pretty sure it was 02. Yeah.
Okay. Okay,
here's another name.
Yeah.
That just popped into my head.
Okay.
Dwayne Rudd.
Oh. You know what? I'm willing to go along with it because I don't remember by that point in time.
Dwayne Rudd, who was famously once penalized, I think when he played for the
Browns
against the Chiefs.
Yeah, week one.
And he slammed his helmet in celebration because he thought that the play that they made was the game-ending play, but it actually wasn't because 15-yard penalty, field goal range.
Yep.
All right, Dwayne Rudd.
Another stab?
Yeah, let's keep thinking here.
This is one of my first favorite Vikings players. This was right around the time I started liking Vikings football.
I feel like we need not a giveaway, but a solid clue because this is a really nondescript.
Can we ask? Is it a linebacker?
It is a linebacker. Yes.
Okay. Because I was going to say like Chris Hovan. I mean, it's linebackers always lead the team in tackles.
Yeah, because especially if the team sucks.
This player played 4 years with the Vikings before leaving for the Houston Texans, where he finished his career.
Oh, Kylie Wong.
There you go.
Kylie Wong.
Yep.
Kylie Wong.
Nice.
99 tackles for Kylie Wong. 3 sacks, a pick. Nice little year for Kylie Wong there.
Nice little season.
can't
wait till Kirk.
By the way, how many combined fumbles and interceptions did Dante Culpepper have in 2001? And I will give you a saving grace of 3 on either side.
So okay. he probably had a ton of fumbles.
There was one year I think he had 20 interceptions twice. So 2000 was his. He had a couple like disaster years there. I want to say that he also fumbled 23 times or something in one of those seasons. He had a year where he literally had like a combined like 35 or 40 interceptions and fumbles.
So this is his second really full season as a starter. So this probably is one of those years.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. I'm pretty sure he fumbled 23 times in a season at his peak. That number stands out in my head.
Are you serious?
Like it was a huge problem.
I have to go back and look.
Kirk will have years where he fumbles like, you know, 12 times or something.
Yep. So are you saying, so like how many picks do you think he threw that year?
Did he throw 20? Did he have like 40? He might have put the ball on the ground 40 times.
Are we talking 40 turnovers? So, not turnovers, but.
Because I know he had a couple 20 interception seasons or close to it, right? So I'm just going to talk this through.
Okay.
Yep.
The max for me is like 43, but I could also see it where it was like 16. I could see like 36 to 43.
Should we guess 40?
So if we guess 40, it's kind of right in the middle. Let's
guess 40.
You're
on both sides of it.
Let's guess 40.
All right.
God. Is it higher? It's higher.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking it's higher. Keep going.
All right. So one of my original guesses was that he threw 20 interceptions and 20.
You said 23 fumbles.
Let's go higher. Let's say 43.
Okay.
Okay. All right. We give up. Is it lower?
It was lower. 30s. It was way lower.
36. It's like 36.
29. 29 total interceptions and fumbles. He had 13 picks, 16 fumbles.
Okay.
So there might have been another year where that is accurate you're getting at. Okay. But in 2001, I mean, we'll still 29 turnovers in 16 games.
Right now, but we will look it up.
Is,
no apologies.
And it wasn't 29 turnovers.
Correct.
I just put fumbles,
interceptions as a
yep.
as okay. one there. Which Vikings tight end led the team in receptions that year? Which Vikings tight end led the team in receptions that year?
So this would have been like Carlester Crumbler.
I was just going to say, when was, and we're just talking here, Dex, when was Byron Chamberlain?
Wow, right around, I feel like, wasn't he a little earlier than that, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, this all to me runs together.
This player made the Pro Bowl that season.
Boy.
This is before Jermaine Wiggins,
yes.
too, right?
Yeah, Jermaine Wiggins was 05.
So it's either and he was with the Patriots. After Steve Jordan.
Yes. Yes, well after Steve Jordan, if I'm not mistaken.
Byron Chamberlain.
Who was the 98 tight end, Phil?
Hunter Goodwin? Was it Hunter Goodwin? Or was it Byron Chamberlain?
I feel like Byron. Now, if I'm right about him even being there in 2001, I feel like Hunter Goodwin was more of a blocker and Byron Chamberlain caught more passes.
Let's go with your Byron Chamberlain.
All right.
Byron Chamberlain. Final answer?
Yep.
Yeah. Dang.
Got it.
Yeah, Pro Bowl season.
Got it. No apologies. No apologies.
Dude, that is, wow.
57 receptions, 666 yards, 3 touchdowns. But yes, he did make the Pro Bowl that year. Probably wasn't. I'm sure that was a good year for a tight end at the time. Let's say this year would be, and still a solid year, I guess.
Not, he was a nice
bad.
Player.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Yeah, pretty good.
Pretty good. Final one. 2 non-quarterbacks threw passes that season. Who were they?
Well, Randy Moss is always...
Yeah,
that's Randy Moss is probably one of them, right?
Let's go Randy Moss.
Yep.
Yeah! 1 for 1 okay. for 29 yards. Randy Moss in that Week 17 game against the Ravens.
Okay. Was the next...
Spurgeon Wynn was the other one, as they found out.
Are we looking at a running back, you think, Phil? Or you think we're looking at
So this would have been... Robert Smith had retired by now, right? Wasn't this the first year of Michael Bennett? I think 01 was the first... Or was 02 Bennett?
I think it was...
Who the hell was the 01 running back then? Was it Robert Smith? Did Robert Smith play 01?
No, I thought he retired after like 2000. I think he was... I don't think he was there when... I think he was not on the team when Corey passed away. I think he had retired by then. Because he retired a few years after Barry Sanders shocked everybody by retiring.
So like Mo Williams or somebody would have been there running back that year.
Exactly.
I'm trying to think of, would they have thrown a pass on a busted field goal or... Was Mitch Berger the holder, or was it the Australian guy? Bennett. Did they have another Bennett?
Like Darren Bennett, right?
Darren Bennett.
You know... Ooh, it might have been a holder. Do you remember there was one year where a play got screwed up and it was in Green Bay, I want to say, and now I don't remember the year, but it's around this time, and Berger had third. They were like kicking on third down to ensure that they would have a chance at a fourth down kick if something went wrong.
That's right.
But somebody threw a pass, and because they threw a pass, they lost the possession. Something like that. You might be right. Do you want to guess Mitch Berger?
Let's guess Mitch Berger. We get a couple here, maybe.
Mitch Berger, final answer.
Yep.
Mitch Berger. With the lock off. Mitch Berger.
Wow, dude. Wow.
You like that? Okay, you know what? I would like to take a victory lap after last week's wild debacle. I would like to take a victory lap here and say, this is one of our greatest.
That was pretty damn good.
That was
I mean, we got Kylie Wong with a clue, but we got Kylie Wong.
Mm-hmm.
The Berger one was totally had no clues.
I want to pull up Dante. I want to see what was his worst ball control year.
By the way.
Okay, so 02, he had 23 interceptions. The next year, he had 23 picks.
Okay. Mitch Berger, as I was doing a Google search there when you guys were pontificating, was on the Millionaire Matchmaker show in 2013. Do you remember this one, Phil? Millionaire Matchmaker?
Yeah, I watched a couple episodes
and
of that.
He apparently is still together with Bambi Lachelle, who was like a famous swimsuit model, and they met on the show, and they've literally still like I have been as you guys were pontificating there, I was trying to figure out who the hell Bambi Lachelle is, but he literally was on Millionaire Matchmaker, a sitcom dating show.
What's her last name?
Bambi Lachelle, Lashell. But yeah, her first name's Bambi like
Bambi
the deer.
Bambi Lachelle.
There were some legendary Mitch Berger stories in this town for a while.
Oh, my.
He had some Scotty Erickson to him.
All right. Good for him.
Let's just say that.
Apparently so.
Yes. Judging by
Mitch was a punter who lived like a quarterback.
Hey, honey, let's play a game of hide the Snickers.
Yeah, what was the Snickers story? And every announcer told it. He
in
a
shoe,
Snickers
right?
Before a game or in a shoe.
I thought it was
in his shoe.
I thought it was in his shoe.
That's what it was.
No, it was during the game. He would just take a bite out of it. Like, he just had a Snickers in his shoe, and he would take a bite out of it. By the way, so it was 2002 that Dante Culpepper led the league in both interceptions and fumbles, a combined 46.
Is 2002
46.
Is 2002 the year that they were playing the Saints at the Superdome and I think went for two or something like that, and Culpepper fumbled and picked it up and ran it in?
Yeah.
Yes. So they in the last, that was, let's see here, at New Orleans, week 15, 2002, they were 3-10 at the time, And they won that game 32-31. They also had a they won their last three games of that season, and then they won their first six of 2003. So Mike Tyson had a little nine-game winning streak.
Red yelled at him.
So the Vikings scored a touchdown with 5 seconds to go.
Okay.
Actually, it's funny. The Saints scored a touchdown to go up with 5 minutes to go, and then the Vikings drove down. Culpepper hit Randy Moss with a 13-yard touchdown pass, and that made it 31-30 with 5 seconds left, and Mike Tyson said, let's run it, baby.
Let's go for two.
And Dante, that's and you're right. I think Dante Culpepper fumbled and then just grabbed it and barreled into the end zone.
Who was the Saints quarterback in that game? Do you have the box score in front of you?
Totally just closed it out.
Darn it.
It's probably, get it. Probably Aaron.
Take a guess.
Aaron Brooks
probably.
That's there definitely for a while. Peak. And it wasn't that Saints team might have been a playoff team that year.
That's good. All right. Guess. Aaron Brooks.
Let's see here. Yeah, the Saints were 9-5 going into that game. There was also, was that the year where the Saints, didn't the Saints, was it Morton Anderson, missed an old school extra point, like the old extra points?
Mm-hmm.
Or no, it was, or was it John Carney? I can't remember. There was a kicker like right around that time, like an old school, like veteran kicker. There was a razzle dazzle, like kick return miracle finish. And it was either the Chargers or the Saints, and I can't remember which team. I think it was an Aaron Brooks team.
I think John Carney did kick for both teams, right?
Mike McCarthy was the OC so that too. Year.
And he missed an extra. So they run this all the way back to tie the game and the playoffs. Not to tie the game, to be down one with pending extra point. And the playoffs were on the line or something, and he pulls the extra point, and they lose the game.
Should have gone for two, like Tyson did.
Aaron Brooks went 21 of 33 for 255 and two touchdowns in this game. He had a great game. But Dante went 26 of 36 for 312. Michael Bennett, 0-2. That was Michael Bennett. So, interesting. Randy Moss, 11 catches for 113 and two touchdowns against the Saints in that game. Joe Horn also starred for the – and Jake Reed. Jake Reed played for the Saints in that game.
That's right. Just another day for Moss.
That's way more Vikings trivia.
And New Orleans Saints.
Anyway, I'd like to pat both of us on the back for an outstanding effort this week.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Hold your applause. Hold your applause. No, that's okay. All right, that's a wrap. Tomorrow, write that down. When are you guys going to admit that you were wrong?
Everyone's
tomorrow on both Mackie and Judd and Purple Daily. But that's a wrap on today's episode of Mackie and Judd. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please click the subscribe button on the Score North YouTube channel if you want our ugly faces in your face every day. See you guys.